Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante along with Chris Buchanani. Chris, we have now passed that halfway mark in July. You could feel it. Football's on the way, buddy.
Yeah, so my belief, Jim, is that Arts Fest is the line of demarcation. Once you get through Arts Fest here in Happy Valley, that's when you can really start sinking your teeth into excitement over the upcoming college football season. I always pick up the Town and Gown football annual. That's one of the ways I start getting psyched up for the year. And they did a really nice job with it this year. I got to give shouts to the folks over there. So yeah, I start putting football movies in the DVD or streaming football movies. So yeah, I'm getting psyched.
I am too. We start to get news. We start to get the media days and having some fun with that. So it is on its way. It's almost here, Chris. But for today, though, we have a couple fun topics to talk about. I've been doing with everybody, I'm calling it the six pack, where we're talking about your favorite college football teams beyond Penn State. We may also hit the other side, Chris, get some teams that you actually root against. But just a quick question. What is easier for you to compile? Teams in college football that you root for or teams that you root against?
Well, what do you think the answer is, Jim? And I can guarantee that you're right.
I'm thinking it's the teams that you root against.
You are correct.
A crazy guess.
Yeah.
I think that's the case with most of us. Then a little bit later in the show, Chris, we're going to turn the tables. We're going to allow you to ask me the questions.
Yeah.
So that should be pretty fun there also. I'm looking forward to that. But let's get back. Let's go to the tough question for you, Chris. I need to know the teams that you root for, because I know you're a sports fan, and I know you have your favorites. I know you're an admitted Penn State fan, like I am. But you know what? You still like college football. So my question is, who is it? What teams, what programs do you like to watch when Penn State's not playing? And, you know, here's the thing. It could be for any reason, Chris. Okay. I've talked to Landon about this. I've talked to Andy about this. And I think even more interesting than what teams they rooted for was why. We've gotten, well, the style of offense they play. I know some players on the team. I like the uniforms. I like the stadium. It could be whatever reason. So I want to hear it. Let's start your list of teams that you root for other than Penn State.
Yeah, sure. And, you know, look, and from year to year, like you point out, there might be teams that come in and out of this category based on the style of offense they're running or the kind of defense they play under a certain head coach. Definitely this year, I will watch Duke more closely because of the Manny Diaz connection. I love watching the service academies because I just love the triple option. You don't see it anywhere else. And I love seeing it run to perfection. So when Paul Johnson went to Georgia Tech and implemented it there, I liked watching Georgia Tech. Now I couldn't care less to watch a Yellow Jackets game. So there are those teams that come in and out of the circle based on those variables.
Let me stop you for a second there, Chris, because I find it fascinating. Already you named I said it the same way. I didn't say Army. I didn't say Navy. I said the service academies for me for the exact same reason. And I said Duke for the exact same reason. Manny Diaz. I'm a fan of his. I'm a fan of what he did here. I'll be rooting for him at Duke. So I find that just fascinating that already the first two you mentioned coincide with my list.
Yeah, now for sure, I'm mostly a Penn State fan on home football Saturdays for the Nittany Lions. Like, I'm barely watching any other college football because I'm out tailgating. I don't know how much I actually watch any of these teams, but I keep track of them and I root for them. And the first one, actually, Jim, is Brigham Young. And most of these are stupid reasons. Why do I have a soft spot in my heart for these other programs? So for BYU, it's that growing up as a kid, my favorite football player was Jim McMahon. So Jim McMahon's a BYU alum. So that began my fascination with that program. And then my high school, which is very small, Lehighton High School, has only sent, I think, three kids to play Division I ball in my lifetime. And one of them was the great Joey Semenoff, who played running back for the Cougars back in the early to mid 2000s. So that only reinforced my, yeah, I'll watch BYU. I'll root for these guys. So that was one of them. Plus that 89 Holiday Bowl, Jim, is one of the great, most, the stupidest, most fun Penn State games of all time.
It was. And just, I find it fascinating that your reason to root for BYU is favorite player, Jim McMahon. Is there any player ever, ever, ever who's more the antithesis of BYU than Jim McMahon?
Oh, it's phenomenal. Like, he has the great quote about the best thing about Provo was seeing it in my rearview mirror. I love that, too. Like, I love the contradiction in terms of the punky QB leading Lavelle Edwards and Mormon BYU. So, yeah, it was great. I always have a soft spot in my heart for the Cougars.
I like that pick. They had fun teams besides that bowl game with Penn State, you know, like the quarterbacks, like Ty Detmer. You know, there were a lot of fun BYU teams while both of us during our era growing up. That's a good first pick.
Every Chris. Philadelphia Eagles fan loved Ty Detmer for like 5 minutes back in the mid-90s.
Yes.
Those were dark days. That Ty Detmer, Bobby Hoying era was rough. That was a rough era in Eagles football. Let's move on.
All right. Who you got second after BYU?
Okay. So I've got both of these teams on the same line because I've always grouped them together in my head. And now they're definitely grouped together, I think, for most people. And that's Oregon State and Washington State. And so, I have a soft spot in my heart for the underdog. I always root for the underdog. And I always felt like those two programs, I always linked together because they're always the little brother stepchild of the Pac-12 of Oregon and Washington. And so, you know, it's just little things that start to endear a program to you. I really enjoyed that one-off we played against Oregon State in the 2008 non-conference schedule. Some of their fans made the cross-country trip to come out for the game, and they were a lot of fun to drink a few beers with at a tailgate and talk to. And, it helped that Penn State kicked the crap out of them. And then Oregon State did us a big solid, building our resume in that Big Ten championship year and beating USC, who I think was ranked number one at the time, or was it, you know, in the top two or three. And so with Washington State, you know, I love Mike Leach. And so, always had kind of a soft spot for him as the underdog. And then the Pirate goes out there and you're like, oh, I'm going to root for these guys. And, you know, now they're like the ultimate underdogs of college football as the leavings of the breakup of the Pac-12. So I will always pull for Oregon State and Washington State to surprise people.
That's another good choice or choices with the two of those teams. And if you hadn't brought it up, I would have brought up the game where Oregon State came to Penn State. I remember being on campus on Friday, the day before that game, and bumping into some Oregon State people. Like you said, they made the trip from the West Coast, and they were thrilled about it. It was like checking off something on the bucket list, coming to Beaver Stadium, seeing the game there. And, of course, they were as nice as can be, everyone I met from Oregon State. So that also creates, I think, a certain amount of endearment towards a program when you have that kind of experience. Good call there, Chris.
Upon a time, that round robin scheduling in the non-conference that the Big Ten and Pac-10 or Pac-12, I don't forget what it was. It was that long ago. It might have even been Pac-10 era. Got vaporized by all the conference realignment. But I was really excited for that once upon a time, where for a prolonged period of time, the Big Ten and the Pac-12 were going to swap out teams playing each other in home and home series. That Oregon State game was fun. I'm sorry that's gone the way of the dodo, but at least we'll get a little taste of that now with the four Pac-12 refugees in the Big Ten.
Remember right before the realignment, there was, what was it called? The Alliance, ACC, Big Ten and Pac-12. I remember thinking to myself, how great would this be? And especially if they did it kind of by seeding, you know, the best team in the Pac-12 plays the best team in the Big Ten and second against second, that kind of thing.
Oh, yeah, there's a parallel universe where that worked out very well, and you could have Penn State play Pitt most years, and it would have been a lot of fun. But, yep, not on this timeline.
No, we didn't see it. We're not going to see it. Alliance, how we miss you already. All right. Next up, you got three teams down, BYU, Oregon State, Washington State. Who's next on your list, Chris?
It's Virginia Tech, actually. And again, you know, the way these things play out, it just so happens. So my in-laws live in Roanoke, so they're all Virginia Tech fans. So Penn State and Virginia Tech famously have never played. We had that series lined up and it got canceled by COVID, which stinks because I really wanted to experience Enter Sandman at a Penn State road game. I thought that would have been a lot of fun. But you know, you talk to people, I know some other folks who are Virginia Tech fans. My cousin ended up leaving Penn State to go work at Virginia Tech. So I got a lot of family ties that strengthened my respect for it. I've always felt that Virginia Tech and Penn State, institutionally, culturally, whatever, were kindred spirits. You remember all the way back to the 2007 when they had the terrible shooting on campus. There was a Bellefonte native who was a Penn State undergrad who was getting his master's there, who was one of the victims. And so there was some reciprocity between Penn State and Virginia Tech where the students all organized to wear Virginia Tech color to the blue-white game, and the T-shirts raised money to support the victims' families. I thought, you know, all of those things, you have these little ties, and now Brent Pry is down there. I've just always looked at Virginia Tech and respected who they were as a program and rooted for them to do well. So, again, I'm mostly a Penn State guy. I'm mostly watching Penn State. And from year to year, I'm probably following storylines more than anything. But if I were to pick out a few college football programs that I can say, yeah, I got a real soft spot for these guys, it would be the ones I just mentioned.
See, that very good reason, very good pick. I got to chat with Brent Pry one time, you know, a social setting, not, you know, I'm interviewing him. Really enjoyed it. Like the guy, we talk baseball, Chris. Anybody talks baseball with me, that endears me to them. And the other thing, my first job out of Penn State was actually in Virginia, Northern Virginia, outside in Arlington, Virginia. And there was another guy who started exact same day as I did, and he was a Virginia Tech grad. And I think from that moment, we instantly talked college football, Virginia Tech, Penn State, the differences, the similarities, kind of created for me that same connection with Virginia Tech. I like your choices. We got a couple more from you when we get back in quarter two.
Reputation is everything. Hi, I'm Matt Nobby, General Manager of Bobby Rahal Honda State College, and we're proud of the reputation we've built with our customers. We're not just here to sell you a new car. We support you through every mile of your Honda ownership with benefits like free state inspections and a complimentary loaner vehicle. We'll even wash and vacuum your car when it's in for service. Our reputation is car buying made simple and great service after the sale. Stop by our West College Avenue showroom today or go online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com.
It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello, and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. He's Chris Buccanani. I'm Jim Galanchi. We are going over Chris's six-pack list of his favorite teams other than Penn State. I know everyone is a distant second to Penn State for you, Chris, just like they are for me, but college football happens to be the greatest sport out there, best sport, and I will watch college football more than any other sport when my team's not involved. There's no other sport where I say, hey, I want to watch, you know, the Red Sox play the White Sox. I don't do that in baseball. In college football, I do. I will watch anybody play, but sure, there are specific teams that I sort of just want to watch more than others, their style of play, just something about the school, a connection like you talked about with Virginia Tech. So far on your six-pack, you have BYU, Oregon State and Washington State, and Virginia Tech. You've got two more to go. Who's next on your list, Chris?
Oh, we're still talking about programs I like?
Yes. Let's. Do you have two more?
Or
do
yeah, you yeah. I'll give you two, but let's put Oregon and Wazoo on separate lines. So yes. I want to get into the teams I hate because that's a lot more fun. And really, these other two are, you know, look, they're not probably – I don't care as much about the as the other ones. But I'll throw Temple in there. Just I always root for Temple to do well. They've had a couple of Penn State alums as head coach, now Golden and Matt Rhule. And they're a Philly team, so I kind of feel compelled to root for them in football and basketball when they're not playing Penn State. Obviously, 2015 was very difficult for me emotionally, but otherwise, I'm always rooting for Temple because they are both an underdog and a Philly school. So I'll root for the Owls.
All right. First of all, I'll just tell you Temple. Same way, I lived in Philadelphia for a while. I really liked Temple basketball. Was a big John Chaney fan.
Amazing.
Plus, my dad was a Temple grad, so I had that little connection also. All right.
I'm really pulling hard for Adam Fisher to turn that program around, by the way.
Yes.
Another Penn
let's,
State
Let's
guy.
Get your last one in so we can have some fun with the teams you don't like. Go ahead. Number six.
Sure. And for this one, it's probably a lot for a lot of people is Appalachian State, which the love affair starts with them upsetting Michigan in 2007. And then they've just become a program that is almost impossible not to root for, especially Jim, because Penn State was not one of their victims, one of the scalps they claimed in scheduling a big Power 5 non-conference game. So that makes it a lot easier for me to continue to root for the Mountaineers.
Talk about that kickoff return to put them in position.
Unbelievable.
I'll tell you what. Any athletic director of a Power 4, 5 team, whatever, who schedules Appalachian State, should be fired.
Oh yeah, absolutely. You deserve what you tolerate, Jim.
Yes.
But yeah, that KJ Hamler kickoff return where he like stutter stops twice and then just says, F it, I'm doing this, and takes it out of the end zone and then ends up returning it to midfield. I'm surprised the man could walk, let alone run that fast, given the size of the balls it takes to do what he did after he stopped and started twice. Unbelievable. One of the great unheralded moments in Penn State football history. All right, teams I hate, let's go.
Yes, let's do it. This should be easier. I suspect you might have trouble limiting it to six. But let's go. Where are you going to start, Chris?
Okay, absolutely. Number one is Notre Dame. Okay. Like if there's a program I have hated more consistently over the entirety of my life, I don't know which it is. So again, I talked about my high school. It's at Lee Heitens in Carbon County. So it's just kind of on the edge of what you would think of as the Northeastern tier of Pennsylvania. And pretty much everybody in that area is either a rabid Penn State fan or a rabid Notre Dame fan. And of course, like their reasoning is always ridiculous. It's like, oh, you know, I'm Catholic. Okay, who cares, right? My grandpa was a Notre Dame fan. It's like that's their card to jump on the damn Notre Dame bandwagon. Oh, my grandpa was a Notre Dame fan. I get it. All right, I understand. It was the 40s. There were like two teams you could hear on the radio, the Yankees and the Fighting Irish. I get it. Couldn't stand it. Don't like them. I have never rooted harder for a non-Penn State team, I don't think in my life, that I rooted for Alabama, who's like the epitome of the evil empire juggernaut, than I did in that 2012 national championship game. I forget what the score was. Alabama blew their doors off. They could have hung twice as many points, and I still would have been at the TV screaming with bloodlust with 2 minutes left in the fourth quarter to put the starters back in and throw deep. I'm like, I cannot stand them. But in a way that is like the healthiest form of sports hate you can have. Like to me, hating Notre Dame is one of the great American, God-given rights as much as loving Notre Dame irrationally, even though you and no one you know ever stepped foot on its campus. It's like, that to me is the essence of college football, having a strong opinion about the Notre Dame football program. And I love it. It's one of the great things about our sport.
Well, you know what, Chris, that's a fantastic pick. And you said you bordered on Northeast Pennsylvania. I was raised in Berwick. We had that same kind of thing. If you weren't a Penn State fan, it's the number of people who were Notre Dame fans. One of my best friends from high school, get this, he rooted for Notre Dame, the Cowboys, and the Yankees. The
Lakers.
Yeah, it drove me crazy. But I will make a confession. I will make a confession.
Go ahead.
When I was a little guy, and I can tell you, when I was like 5 or 6 years old, I rooted for Notre Dame, okay? Because there was no football on TV. There was like one game a week, national game. But on Sundays, you always got like a 90-minute replay of the Notre Dame game.
Right.
So that's what you did. That's how you watched football.
Well, they had like a damn propaganda arm in the national media for 50 years.
Yes, exactly. And as a six-year-old, that's my excuse. But when I was 6 years old, the biggest game of the year was Notre Dame versus Michigan State. Okay. And the game finished in a tie, 10-10. Notre Dame had the ball. Back then, of course, games can end in a tie. Notre Dame had the ball, last possession, and played for a tie. They played for a tie, Chris. Played for a tie.
Infuriating. Their arrogance in remaining independent. I mean, just insufferable navel gazers, Jim, who absolutely need to join the Big Ten yesterday and just refuse to do it because they think that their excrement is fragrant.
Can I give you one more Notre Dame story?
Please do. Right.
So I mentioned earlier, I got my first job out of college was in Washington, D.C., right outside in Arlington, Virginia. And I worked for a computer company, and we had there was a company we partnered with, a small software company. And I had a meeting. I was 21 years old, out of school. I was working with them on a project. The first time I got to meet the owner of that company. Chris, I swear to God, this guy could have been the Notre Dame leprechaun. Red hair, red beard, had the smile, had the gleam in his eye. I mean, this guy was Irish as the day was long. So we sit down, start chatting business. We took a little break. He turns, looks at me, this youngster, and says, "So, Jim, I hear you're a Penn State grad. Are you a football fan?" "Oh, yeah, Penn State." And his response was, "Well, I just want to let you know I'm a graduate of the school that is going to be the toughest game your team has this year." I looked at him and said, "Oh, my God, you went to Alabama?"
Listen, that guy is an outlier among outliers. If he actually went to school at Notre Dame and roots for them. "Oh, I'm Catholic. Oh, I'm, you know, 15% Irish. I got to root for Notre Dame." Only these intolerable frauds, Jim, could lay claim to an entire religious sect and an entire ethnicity and say, "Hey, come on and join our bandwagon." Do you want to know, like, they are so full of themselves that they claim they have the world's largest alumni association, which is why I always, when I have Paul Clifford on any of our shows, I always say, "Paul, we got to make sure we say that Penn State has the largest dues-paying alumni association in the world," because what Notre Dame does is they just confer alumni association membership permanently on everybody who gets a degree from Notre Dame. They don't have to do anything. They don't even have to pay a dollar like Nebraska fans have to do to get into their spring game. Nothing. It costs $0. Penn State, you want to be in the alumni association, which, by the way, you should, if you're not a member, alumni.psu.edu, sign up today. You got to have skin in the game. So it's everything about their football program and the brand and their marketing, it's all built on quicksand. It's nonsense. It's vaporware.
Well, but yes, I'm with you. The frauds that have no connection to the university, they didn't go, they don't have kids that went, they don't live in Indiana nearby, they have no connection at all. they still claim to be Notre Dame fans.
And then another thing is that, you know, there's a perception out there that Notre Dame always has a soft schedule and they get that knock. And that's not true. That's not true. Notre Dame often has very difficult schedules. And those are the years where they always get exposed. Now, everybody go Google their schedule this year. I mean, it's ridiculous. It's just like that 2012 team. They had one or two big wins, right? Like, it's just infuriating. I love it. You hear how fired up I'm getting? This is what's great about college football. Hating Notre Dame, having a strong opinion about Notre Dame is one of the great American sports traditions. It's why I will always hate them more than any other sports, hate them more than any other college football program, even the one I'll mention next.
We have to do just a whole show on why I hate Notre Dame.
I would love to do it.
And in fact, I'll tell our listeners, send in why you hate Notre Dame.
Please. Yes.
And we'll get into it. All right. That's Notre Dame. I'm sure you have a couple more. Let's hear next on your.
Don't send any of this. Like, I don't care to hear the other opinion. Okay. The other side. Don't give me like my great, great grandfather emigrated from Ireland.
There is only one opinion there, and it's not an opinion. It's fact. Notre Dame is hated. End of discussion. Correct. Let's move on.
Yes. Okay. Well, I know we're bumping up against the end of the segment here, Jim. So we'll transition into quarter number three. I'm going to let you guess who is number two on my list. You could probably guess the whole list.
Well, I'm going to throw a name out there before we go to break. We'll have then time to think about it. I'm going to say your Ohio State Buckeyes, the Ohio State Buckeyes, will be your next pick on your list. We're going to find out, Chris, if I'm correct when we come back for quarter number four. So stay tuned.
Reputation is everything. Hi, I'm Matt Nobby, general manager of Bobby Rahal Honda State College, and we're proud of the reputation we've built with our customers. We're not just here to sell you a new car. We support you through every mile of your Honda ownership with benefits like free state inspections and a complimentary loaner vehicle. We'll even wash and vacuum your car when it's in for service. Our reputation is car buying made simple and great service after the sale. Stop by our West College Avenue showroom today or go online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com.
Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim. He's Chris. We are talking about Chris's. First, we talked about his favorite teams other than Penn State. That was kind of fun. It was okay. Well, as soon as we shifted gears to the teams that Chris hates, all of a sudden the excitement level moved up on the show. We talked Notre Dame. Chris, we could have gone on an entire show of why I hate Notre Dame. Legitimate. Every one of the reasons was legitimate. We then said, okay, who's number two on the list? You asked me to guess who was number two on your list. I put out the Ohio State Buckeyes as my guess. Was I correct?
You were not.
Oh.
No, man, I'm old school. It's the Pitt Panthers.
I should have.
Were it not for the cavalcade of conference realignments and everything that has basically stripped the Penn State Pitt rivalry of nearly all of its meaning, they would definitely be number one. But, look, Notre Dame at least has kept up their end of the bargain in remaining relevant here deep into the first quarter of the 21st century. Can't really say the same for Pitt. Nevertheless, I was raised a Penn State fan, and so I was raised to hate Pitt and to appreciate that rivalry when it really meant something, when it was one of the great rivalry games, not only that all of Pennsylvania was tuning into, but everyone around the country. And so, again, when you talk about what makes the sport unique and fun, my memory of that and the fact that I have carried it with me, even as it has become less and less important to newer generations of fans on both sides, I think especially on the Penn State side of things, to me, Pitt will always be Penn State's rival. I don't view that as a knock against Penn State. I miss that. I miss those days. I wish we would play more. I wish we'd play every year, frankly. That was one of the great, like I said, one of the great rivalry games in the sport. And so I miss it. And I love to hate Pitt like I love to hate Notre Dame.
You know what, Chris? I'm with you. When everyone said, oh, why should we bother playing them? Because I would put so much emotion into that game. I would revel in a victory. I would cringe if they ever lost to Pitt. And this is – what does 48-14 mean to you, Chris?
Oh, I know exactly what it is. It's number one Pitt hosting Penn State in its big rivalry game at the end of the year, going up 14-0, 1981, Dan Marino at quarterback. And then the Nittany Lions hang 48 unanswered points on the Panthers in their building, which, by the way, I just found out a couple weeks ago talking in a conversation on Twitter from Scott Paterno. Do you know that was Jackie Sherrill's birthday?
I did not. That makes it even better.
Oh, God. It just enriches the story in a variety of ways. It's just wonderful. It was one of the best things I've ever learned.
I will give you my story.
You learn something new every day. One of the great banner days for me was the day I learned 48-14 was on Jackie Sherrill's birthday. Happy birthday, Jackie.
Here's my 48-14 story, Chris. I don't know if you're old enough to remember this. There would be a show like on the Pennsylvania PBS affiliates. Fran Fischer interviewing Joe. It was called Quarterback.
Yes.
And of course, they're showing highlights of the game. Marino just shreds them. Marches right down the field.
Boom,
boom, boom, boom, boom, boom.
Yep.
And it's 14-0. And Fran Fischer, the way would Joe, you obviously made an adjustment from that point forward to turn things around. Coach, what did you do? What coaching brilliance did you put out there to turn the game around? Well, Fran, I did nothing. If you watch the replay where Marino is shredding us, we had like two defenders there every time. We were prepared. We were ready. But he was just so good on those first two drives, there was no way to stop him. Nothing we could have done. After that, he wasn't quite as perfect. And we had our game plan, and it worked. Everything was ready. From that point forward, it was a different ball game. But I changed nothing, which I thought was very interesting. And that was a candid Joe Paterno comment. And it's over 40 years later, and I remember that, Chris. All right, let's get through these. We got past Notre Dame and Pitt. Who's number three?
So let me just say to Jim, at any given time, my least favorite program in all of college football is whichever program I'm most encountering the fan base on Twitter from. My advice to people is if you are on Twitter or X or whatever you want to call it, please don't get too sucked into the fans of any program on that app. Like, it is just unbelievable how unattractive, completely repulsive any program can become to you if you start interacting with that team's fans on Twitter. And what made me think of it was Pitt. I remember leading up to the first home game, I guess it was 2017, in that four-game series we just completed a little while ago. I'm seeing these Pitt fans on Twitter, and I'm like, my God, like these people are animals. Like, I expected when their fans showed up to Happy Valley, it was going to be like this parade of savages that were subhuman, you know, like these knuckle-dragging troglodytes with like five teeth and sloped brow that looked like the, you know, the missing link wax figures you see in the anthropology museum. And instead, it's just, you know, like these nice families, like totally socially well-adjusted, normal human beings. And I was like, oh, okay, like these are the real people who have no awareness of the cesspool that is representing them in this fake online echo chamber. So anyway, my least favorite team at any time is the team whose fans I'm encountering online. But like before the Auburn game, like, oh my God, the West Virginia fans right now, like I have never seen more irrational confidence from any human being about anything ever than I have West Virginia fans about the season opener this year. So yeah, anyway, number three team is Ohio State. So you were close. I think if you're a Penn State fan, yeah, you hate Ohio State for a variety of reasons, but probably jealousy is number one. There are now 17 teams in the Big Ten that are currently looking up to Ohio State, and Oregon is looking to become the first to look down on them in quite a while. Other than Michigan, I understand Michigan fans are high right now, but you know what? Like, Ohio State has a long, long history of kicking your butt. And I don't know that 3 years and even a national title erases that. But yeah, I mean, like, you resent them because they're good. You resent them because, again, in a different way than Notre Dame, but like most of their fan base has no connection to Ohio State whatsoever. They just hate the fact that the Browns and the Bengals have been garbage for like five decades. And so they're like, well, okay, you know what, whatever. Like, I have absolutely no connection to this school. So I'm just going to treat them like a professional team. I have no problem with that. I'm not fan gatekeeping. I know Penn State has a lot of fans with no connection to Penn State other than they're Pennsylvanians, and God love them. I'm happy to have them aboard. It's just the personality, the affect of the I'm going to treat Ohio State like my NFL team fan base is just they're not people you want to hang around with. Most of the time, you don't like the fans on Twitter and you like the real life fans. Ohio State fans, it's actually the opposite. I like a lot of the Ohio State accounts on Twitter, actually. So several of them. I really find them to be fun to interact with. Meanwhile, they're real life flesh and blood fans, the sort of Walmart Wolverines of the Ohio State universe. Awful. I don't want to breathe the same air as these people. And then the worst thing is, Ohio State, if you look at the collection of talent that they have had, going all the way back to the John Cooper era in the 90s, and they've only won two championships, I feel like it must have felt to be an AFC East team fan, like a Dolphins fan, through the entire 1990s. It's like, oh, the Bills are going to make it to the Super Bowl again, and I know exactly what's going to happen when they get on the big stage. This is how I feel about Ohio State. I remember one year we were playing them after they had just gotten tattooed by, you know, whatever SEC team beat the crap out of them. Probably LSU, I think this was. The next year, they're at Penn State, and a few Ohio State fans start talking smack to us as they're walking by our tailgate. And I'm like, hey, guys, you're going to embarrass the whole conference on national television again, like you always do. And so they shut up and they walked off, hung their heads in shame, because that's it. They're like kings of the conference until they actually got to put up or shut up. And then most of the time they get shut up in the way, like in the most embarrassing, ridiculous ways possible. So they're the main reason that the Big Ten has the respect that it does. And they're also the main reason that the Big Ten lacks the respect that it doesn't get. So anyway, yeah, I don't like Ohio State.
And you know what, Chris, what's funny is this goes back to a lot of years prior to, in the last decade and a half, Ohio State recruits like Alabama. Okay. They are the elite recruiters. They bring in the very most talent. Difference is Alabama wins national championships and Ohio State does not.
Okay, let me wrap it. I want to get to the true or false here in the fourth quarter. So rapid fire, I'm going to give a few other ones. Situational. Okay, Michigan, I can kind of go both ways on. Honestly, like very arrogant, often very overrated. Like Notre Dame, a team that earned its brand largely through media coverage and has a lot of like casual hanger-on fans. That said, in many ways, Michigan is what I wish Penn State was, both institutionally and as a program, but our leadership is too incompetent and feckless to make the decisions that were made correctly at Michigan. So in a way, I almost feel like a kinship and a respect for them. Tennessee, I started rooting against them when Bob Shoup left us. Remember, because he wanted job security. He left Penn State and James Franklin because he wanted job security. So he went to go work for Butch Davis. So we see how that worked out. And then like the whole nonsense with Greg Schiano and the way they handled the coaching search after Butch Davis got canned. Don't like them. Iowa, always kind of respected and liked them until they booed our injured players at 2021. And then you really started to see the low IQ element, the low IQ cream of that fan base rise to the top. So yeah, not as much of a big Hawkeyes fan. And then the last one I'm just going to mention is Texas, only because I find their faux indignation at the horns down symbol to be one of the most inexplicably stupid behaviors, not only in college football, not only in sports, but just on earth. It is one of the stupidest like completely beyond the scope of my understanding, human behaviors is the way they get upset and feel some kind of way about the horns down. So I give much love and respect to Greg Sankey and the SEC for saying they are not going to penalize fans or teams for doing the horns down. God bless them.
I love that.
It just means more.
The only team on your list that I'm surprised is not on your list is Illinois.
I won't dignify them with hatred.
All right. Very good. That is it for quarter number three. We got Chris's I hate these teams list. We're going to get some true and false that Chris is going to give me the questions when we come back.
Reputation is everything. Hi, I'm Matt Nobby, general manager of Bobby Rahal Honda State College, and we're proud of the reputation we've built with our customers. We're not just here to sell you a new car. We support you through every mile of your Honda ownership with benefits like free state inspections and a complimentary loaner vehicle. We'll even wash and vacuum your car when it's in for service. Our reputation is car buying made simple and great service after the sale. Stop by our West College Avenue showroom today or go online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com.
We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number four. He is Chris. I am Jim. We've had a fun show because we got Chris's favorite teams, non-Penn State category throughout college football. Even more fun, his most hated teams in college football. But now we are going to turn the table a bit. Chris, you have true and false, true or false questions for me. I can't wait to get to this. You did give them to me ahead of time, full disclosure, so I had a chance to analyze them. Where you want to start?
Sure. I thought this would be fun, Jim. You know, when I'm on your show, I get to be basically the panelist, but you know, I'm used to obligatory where I'm the fake host. And so I thought it would be fun to be point guard for a little while again on this show. And so I'm going to throw these out to you. And the reason why I gave them to you in advance is I don't want like surprise first top of mind reactions. I wanted you to really kind of get a chance to dig in and think through your answers. So we'll get through as many of these as we can. And if we got to carry over a few into another show, maybe we'll do it. But let's start right now. True or false, more than one ACC team will make the 12-team playoff this season?
Interesting question and a topic that I've looked into in a lot of different ways.
Yeah, and I think actually more interesting than it seems at first blush once you dig into it.
It really is, because this year I've been saying it for a while now, the College Football Playoff Committee is actually going to have to do some work. The answers aren't going to be obvious. And I think one of the questions they might have to answer is, again, conference champion team goes in. There's no doubt you're going to have multiple Southeast Conference teams, probably multiple Big Ten teams. But somewhere, will you have a situation where would you have an ACC team with one loss that you would put into the playoffs ahead of a two-loss Southeast Conference team? And now, for the first time ever, they're really going to have to deal with strength of schedule. But here's the curve to this, Chris, is you could have, say, I think there's three potential teams in the ACC, in Clemson, Florida State, and Miami.
Yes.
Who could be part of this discussion.
Yep.
I think Clemson plays Georgia out of conference. You and I had talked about this. If Georgia smacks Clemson, that may eliminate that second ACC team right there, because Clemson might be that team that this discussion has.
Yep.
And when you say, hey, they had a chance to play what would be a playoff team from the Southeast Conference, they got their butt handed to them. That could make things happen. Looking at the schedules for those teams, Clemson has Georgia, Florida State, and after that, it's NC State, North Carolina, Louisville. Florida State has Clemson, Miami, Notre Dame, out of conference, they play Florida. Say what you want about Florida, but I Florida is going to be better than whatever their record is, okay?
Yeah, and they have to play Miami as well. So yes. You've got those ACC, SEC measuring stick games. I think the Miami-Florida game is probably more important. And my sense is if there's any path to two playoff teams for the ACC, I'd say like Miami's the Rosetta Stone for that, right? Like that's the key.
Well, here's though the issue the ACC is going to have. Two teams are going to play in that conference championship game. They are going to be the two best teams. It's going to be, I believe, two of those three teams, Clemson, Florida State, and Miami.
Yeah.
The second place team will have one loss, I'm assuming, at least. Will the conference championship game eliminate that second best team? Because that might be their, if it's their third loss, that's it. It's over.
Sure.
But might it be still that tiebreaker if it's the second loss? You know what? I'm saying no. I'm saying there'll be one ACC team. And okay. If they had a chance, they might lose out because of the conference championship game, Chris.
Okay, so we're going false on more than one ACC team in the playoffs. Next, true or false? Talking about a fake ACC team, another example of the insufferable special exceptions for the Fighting Irish. True or false, Notre Dame will host a playoff game.
Interesting, and it's funny. Earlier in the show, Chris, you alluded to the Notre Dame schedule and that over the years, there have been times when they've had a real schedule. I mean, a tough schedule. Mm-hmm. If they could get through that schedule, you know, they've earned their way into the playoffs. That has happened a lot. It's not happening this year, though, Chris, that kind of schedule. Here's their – I found four games that I thought were big games. Well, first of all, three of them, and then I kind of threw a fourth one in.
Yeah, the term big is doing some heavy lifting if you've got four games on your little piece of paper there.
They play Texas A&M early.
Yes.
At Texas A&M.
Absolutely a huge game.
A loss there, again, it would have extra meaning because they would be losing to what I'll call a mid-range Southeast Conference team.
Yeah, and given the fact that there is not a lot of grist left on the slate after that and they will not play a conference championship game, it's not crazy to suggest that a loss in College Station eliminates them from playoff consideration.
At the very least, a second loss, I think, would eliminate them from a home game in the playoffs.
Oh, I think I understand TV and everything. As I was saying, that eliminates them. I'm like, har, Chris, you think this is a meritocracy and not about, you know, selling ad time. So forget I said that. Okay. They will find a way to probably squeeze them in. But I do think also maybe there's a countervailing force here where the conferences might be trying to start to apply some pressure to them to finally just come off the sidelines and pick a conference and go.
Well, the other two games that are losable games, they host Florida State.
Right.
And they play at USC. Now, I think USC is a big variable. We could have a lot of different results. Sure. Now, some might look at this schedule and say, wow, that will be the reason they have a chance to host a playoff game. It's also could be the reason why they don't. Because, again, the playoff committee, a 10-2 Notre Dame team compared to a 10-2 Southeast Conference team, who are you going to give it to?
Yeah,
the Southeast Conference team is going to have a signature win.
Yep.
Notre Dame does not. And remember, there's two of those buys are going to go to the ACC winner and the Big 12 winner. So teams 5 and 6 very likely could be the second place Big 10 team and the second place Southeast Conference team.
Correct.
That only leaves you like two opportunities to host a playoff game. It will not be Notre Dame.
Wow. Okay. I don't know. If I put against it, I might actually go true on that one simply because I think they can win that Texas A&M game, at which point they only need to go 500 in the other two big games you mentioned. By the way, what was the fourth one?
Louisville.
Yeah, I figured. Okay. I mean, reasonable, but not again. If you fancy yourself a playoff team, you ought not be worried about a game against Louisville, no matter how improved they are. Okay.
True or false? Before you go, no. I got one question for you based on that last question.
Sure.
Real quick. Notre Dame goes 10-2 with a loss to Florida State and at USC. Penn State goes 10-2 with a loss to Ohio State and a loss at USC. Who's ranked higher, Notre Dame or Penn State?
Probably Penn State, one or two spots higher, because recency bias always affects the rankings, and a loss to USC for Notre Dame would come at the end of the season, if I'm not mistaken.
I also think there'd be this Big Ten schedule, even if it's Penn State's schedule may not be that great. It would be interesting to see. All right, you still have two more questions for me.
Okay, so true or false, at least three of the former Pac-12 teams will finish in the top half of the Big Ten.
This is an interesting one, and it comes down to Washington.
Yep.
All right. I think Oregon and USC will be there. I think UCLA will not. All right?
Yep, I'm with you.
Here's the problem with Washington. I'm going to give them three losses in conference, Chris. Michigan, Penn State, and Oregon. Fair enough?
Absolutely.
All right. So we got three losses. I am going to give them three wins. Northwestern, Indiana, and UCLA.
Okay. Yeah, I'll take it.
All right. So they're now 3-3. I'm going to assume for the top half of the conference, you got to be 5-4 as opposed to 4-5.
Yep.
Fair enough. The three game where the variables are USC at home, at Iowa, and at Rutgers.
Mm-hmm.
Can they go 2-1 in those three games?
Well, you're the one answering true or false, Jim. What's your answer?
I am going to say no.
I agree.
I don't see them winning at Iowa. I don't think they're going to beat USC. So part of me, and just a precursor to the next question, I was wondering if that Washington at Rutgers game was going to decide two of our questions here, Chris. But I'm going to say false to this. Washington will finish 4-5. And not be in the top half of the Big Ten.
Okay, last but not least, true or false, Rutgers will win 9 games or more in 2024.
As I said, it may come down to that Rutgers-Washington game. I have for Rutgers, I'm giving them wins over Howard, Akron, UCLA, Minnesota, Illinois, and I think even at Michigan State. That's 6 wins I'm giving them. I have them losing at USC. They now have to win, what do they need? 3 more wins. Washington, at Virginia Tech, Nebraska, Wisconsin, and at Maryland. If you give them that win at Maryland, they still have to win Virginia Tech, Nebraska, Wisconsin. I don't think they win at Nebraska. I don't think they win at Virginia Tech. They're home to Wisconsin. Home with Washington, they have to win both those games. Chris, I say no. I think they finish with 8 wins.
Still a great season for Greg Schiano at Rutgers.
Hey, if he could get them the 8 wins, that's a heck of a job he's done. And I think that's possible, Chris. But that 9th win, just can't see it happen. All right. I enjoyed the questions, Chris, but that's it for our show. Make sure you join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Reputation is everything. Hi, I'm Matt Nobby, General Manager of Bobby Rahal Honda State College, and we're proud of the reputation we've built with our customers. We're not just here to sell you a new car. We support you through every mile of your Honda ownership with benefits like free state inspections and a complimentary loaner vehicle. We'll even wash and vacuum your car when it's in for service. Our reputation is car buying made simple and great service after the sale. Stop by our West College Avenue showroom today or go online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com.